With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Thanks to everyone who supports Daily Tech News Show directly. To find out more, head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support. This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, November 8th, 2018 in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I'm Sarah Lane.
Also in Los Angeles, I'm Lamar Wilson.
And to round up the LA crew, it's Roger Chang, producer for the show.
We apologize for our LA-centric bias. We will try to overcome it with a lot of stories that originated in China on today's show, including one about fake or virtual, depending on how you look at it, anchor, news anchors. Let's start with a few tech things you should know.
Some Windows 10 Pro users are getting notices that their systems aren't activated and that they need to install Windows 10 Home instead. The majority of these users seem to be ones who got Windows 10 licenses as a free upgrade from Microsoft back in 2015. Microsoft says there is indeed an ongoing issue with its activation servers that's triggering the system errors, but the problem should be fixed within a couple of days.
Ooh, a couple of days. Ouch. Somebody at our Slack got bit by this, so yeah, it's out there.
Oh, that's terrible. A YouTube app for the Nintendo Switch is available today on the Nintendo eShop. It's the second video app on the Switch after Hulu and offers access to 360-degree videos. Yes.
And I guess you could get your YouTube movies or even Movies Anywhere stuff when you've got it hooked up to your TV.
Yeah, it should work right through the YouTube app. Yeah.
Safaricom launched M-Pesa Global, opening up the mobile payment system to worldwide use. More worldwide use. It already worked with PayPal and a few others. Kenyan M-Pesa users can now send and receive money worldwide through the system, including new partnerships with Western Union and banks. That's the big part. Banks in the United Arab Emirates, UK, and Germany at launch, with more bank systems to be added. All right, let's talk a little bit more about an important product launch, Lamar.
Yes, this is very serious. I will not laugh through this. Facebook's Portal Plus and Portal Smart Displays are available to buy on the Portal's online store and at Amazon and Best Buy. The Portal Plus is $349. It is a $349 smart display with a camera and a 15.6 inch 1080p HD display that can be viewed in landscape or portrait mode. And Portal goes for $199 with a 720p 10.1 inch screen that's landscape mode only. That's a mouthful there. Both devices can be used as Alexa speakers along with Facebook's Hey Portal. Sorry, I tried voice service. And if you buy two Portals together, you save $100.
And then you can open one on one side and then go through it to the other.
Yeah. So I have a really extended, bear with me, opinion about this.
All right.
It might take a couple of minutes.
Go for it.
No. No.
Now.
Why? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Why?
Like, seriously, Facebook comes out with this at the time that they're dealing with all of this. I don't know if it's antitrust, but all these privacy issues and things. And I know we allow Apple in our home with FaceTime and things. We allow other companies, but Facebook has always been that one that we just kind of cringe when they want to invade our home and our personal life a little bit more. And I'm very uneasy about this. And I know they came out with a press release yesterday and they said, oh, it's local. We don't store anything. I don't trust them on this one, and it just feels creepy to me.
You're not the only one that says that. The Verge review on this pretty much said the same thing. They're like, great piece of hardware, very well locked down for privacy. Don't trust Facebook. Like they just, it's not about the piece of hardware itself. It's not about the policies. Facebook is bending over backwards to say, look, we actually put a physical piece of hardware that can't be circumvented to cover the video. We're keeping everything local. We let people audit it to make sure that it's local. And people are like, yeah, I just don't trust you. I've never trusted Facebook, but I don't trust them any less these days. I feel like they are a bit of a victim of overreaction, but this is not going to sell. It's also limited. No. I mean, it's basically just a video phone that has Spotify on it.
Yeah, I don't know who they're marketing this to. When it was first announced some weeks ago, like no one covered it. I heard about it the next day, and I was like, why are no reviewers getting this? And they're like, I literally talked to some YouTube reviewers. They're like, we don't want it at all.
And I think it's unfortunate because this is actually a really good piece of hardware privacy wise. It's not that great a piece of hardware outside of video calling. If you want to do video calling, it's actually a great video caller. It apparently, by all accounts on the reviews I've read, mm-hmm. is better at handling video calls than the Echo Show, than the Google Home, than FaceTime. But I don't think it's going to get a fair shake because, again, nobody trusts Facebook. And people are weirded out even by the Echo in the Home having a microphone in their house right now.
Yeah.
Amazon released its Alexa app for Windows 10 today, which was previously only available on select Windows 10 laptops. You can download and install on any Windows 10 PC, but only compatible devices will support the wake word functionality, which is not Hey Portal, actually. Otherwise, a button within the app or a keyboard shortcut will trigger that assistant.
Now, I trust them. They could. Yeah, this is... See how hypocritical I am? Yeah, this is great.
You have no problem putting an Alexa app in your Windows machine?
No, I already got Cortana and all that. Amazon, to me, I know they have a vested interest in making money for shopping and all that. I get it. But I do have a stronger trust with them, I guess, because I don't know. I buy my things there.
They know.
Yeah. I don't know.
They know a lot about you, too. And you're okay
they do.
With that.
They do. They know probably more than Facebook knows. It's weird. That's why I said it's very hypocritical.
I think that's the interesting thing about both these stories, that it's not necessarily about what's actually happening in either case. It's about perceptions.
Yes.
It's about what people feel about them based on the headlines that they've seen constantly.
Sarah, what you
well,
doing?
I'm well,
gonna get one.
Install it. Sure, of course. I mean, I use Amazon's voice assistant every day and have ever since I got one of these smart speakers as well. That's actually kind of when we were talking about the portal story previously. I was sort of like, well, okay, privacy aside, it sounds like a pretty good device. You know, if you get the two smaller ones together, you save a little bit of money. It's mm-hmm. not a bad price or anything, but it's true. Amazon probably knows a lot more about all of us and can discern between just kind of what you might talk with your friends about online and pictures that you share to actual things that you are purchasing, credit card numbers and all of that stuff. So it's interesting that it's like, well, this sounds fine.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is fine.
No, I think the ding on the portal should be that it's limited, not much of anything else, but Xiaomi launched its 6.21-inch Mi 8 smartphone for £499 in the UK Thursday, along with the Redmi 6A smartphone, the Xiaomi Band 3 fitness tracker, and the Mi electric scooter there. Xiaomi is adding the UK to Spain, France, and Italy as its European markets. A Mi store will open up in the Westfield, London on November 18th. Xiaomi has an event scheduled in New York in December where it is expected to announce smartphone sales in the U.S. They're also operating in Latin America. They passed up Samsung in the Indian market. So Xiaomi is ranked fourth globally in smartphone sales and sells its products right now in 74 markets. I think one of the more significant parts of this story is the continuing rise of Xiaomi. I think a lot of people thought it was going to maybe crest and fall back once it tried to get outside of China, but it looks like it's catching a wave here.
Yeah, didn't the U.S. like block them?
No, they did not. That's a good question. A lot of people may confuse that. The U.S. hasn't blocked anybody trade-wise. The U.S. did order parts makers not to sell to ZTE, but that has since been overturned, and now you can sell parts to ZTE. And the U.S. has said that it won't allow its agencies to buy Huawei devices, although you can buy a Huawei device as a citizen of the U.S. It's not a trade import block or anything like that.
Yeah. Well, good. Thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, and Xiaomi's not part of any of that, so we will see in how they are received in December if they in fact do announce they're coming to the U.S. market. They sell the scooter here. They sell some of their headphones and things like that. They just haven't sold a smartphone domestically in the U.S. yet.
Yeah, the phone looks fine. He has the the A45 processor. It's kind of like the OnePlus. Yeah. It has the end screen or under screen, touch ID type of thing. It looks fine. Like I and it's a good price point. I think US it was $650, something like that. More competition the better.
Yeah, I honestly, Lamar, the way that you just phrased that is exactly how I feel. Anytime I hear one of these announcements, it's like, well, if I needed a phone, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't, so I'm not gonna buy it. But if I did, and the timing was right, because we just have so many manufacturers making so many really nice smartphones now that are all more or less in the same price range, depending on what you're getting. It's always sort of like, looks good.
And this one's on the lower end of the price range. £499 is just a little over $600 US. So, this is quite a bit cheaper than a Samsung or an Apple. It's not one-to-one comparable either, but it is fairly high end, particularly for the price. Mm-hmm.
Facebook is expanding its Facebook dating service to Canada and Thailand after launching in Colombia back in September. With the new rollout, users can temporarily pause matches and give a second look at potential matches they already passed on.
This is so weird. A Facebook spokesperson, they're not giving numbers on the rollout in Colombia. So we don't know how many people are using it. But of course, Facebook says, don't worry. It was, wild applause. Everybody loves it. So we're launching in these two new markets. And you're going to get new features like being able to take a second look at somebody you didn't even like in the first place, which says to me, they're just trying to ramp up user engagement, right? Because if I look at 10 people and I'm like, never mind. And Facebook's like, maybe you want to look at them again. It's like, well, are there 10 other people? Maybe.
I was just in a bad mood that day. That person looks great now.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure that's a feature that some people are like, oh, good. I'm glad this exists. But to me, it says more like there's not a lot of user engagement.
Right. Yet. It's only 10 people.
Right.
Keep looking at them.
Yeah, I'm actually curious if anybody out there who's used any dating app has thought, oh, I wish I had the ability to go back and relook at somebody I passed up on. Is there somebody who's been, yes, this is the feature I've been dying for?
Okay. As somebody who has used dating apps in the past, every once in a while I was like, oh, I meant a right swipe. Oh, well, bye forever. So yeah, sure. it's a feature that would come in handy here and there.
So it's
but I don't think it's post. Something that people are constantly wanting.
Okay. So I never used a dating app. You can't go back if you make a mistake and like swipe?
No, not usually, unless you like pay for it or it's sort of one of these in-app purchases where they're like, well, if you've got crazy hands, then if you pay $199, then you can go back. But it's Facebook dating is, it's funny. It's, talking about, our trust levels with Facebook. Facebook dating is not something that I would want to engage in. Whereas a Facebook smart display / speaker, I don't know. I could probably live with that. But I don't want them having my dating information.
Yeah. See, back in my day, it was all about the Yahoo personals. So,
I think they still exist, right?
They do.
Probably.
Back in my day, it was going to Cam's or Trudy's.
Are those restaurants?
Those are bars, yeah.
In or Champagne. Women.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, which cameras were you going to? Yeah.
Okay. Who's Trudy? moving on. Guangzhou Public Transit launched a self-driving taxi service this week with three cars made by a startup called WeRide.ai. The cars operate for 2 hours a day in a college area and have human safety drivers on board. In related news, Baidu announced Wednesday it will mass produce driverless cars with automaker FAW Group starting in late 2020. And Baidu is also partnering with Volvo.
So Nutonomy has been doing a lot of stuff in Singapore in limited areas and actually in Boston. We've got Waymo doing limited rides in Arizona. We've got Guangzhou now. We've got Baidu on the way. You guys, I mean, a lot of these stories are about like which country is going to win the race. They're all going to get there within a couple of months, maybe, mm-hmm. if not years of each other. We're all going to be able to take advantage of a self-driving car service of some description in the next couple of years.
Is it, and this may be a little bit separate, are some of these companies testing in other countries because of like less regulation? They just kind of like they have kind of an open free brain to test better.
No, it's a really good point. China has been very encouraging of local regulation. So municipalities in China are allowed to set their own rules about what they allowed to test. So okay. A lot of these companies have found it easier to get rolling in a place like Guangzhou. But that's also true of Arizona. The reason Waymo's in Arizona is because Arizona was way friendlier to letting it test than, say, California or New York. So yeah, that affects who's going to get it first, how permissive any particular location is.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're lucky.
Are you guys ready to do this? Like not as a test, not as a, oh, I'm at CES, I'll get in a car and try it out. I mean, as a regular part of your life.
So
yeah,
theoretically, yes. And I want to get to a time where the safety driver is not even in there. Like just you hop in and it's like on a, but see, I don't know. I feel like if it was on a tram or something a little bit safer at first, where it's like, okay, I mean like you're on a bus, but it's not a driver. No, the train is a good example. Some trains don't have conductors.
Yeah,
anymore,
like
a, right?
Like in airports particularly. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Deep so yeah, I'd be down.
I don't know. There's so many bad drivers. It's like, how much worse could this be, really?
Exactly.
I'm just kidding. Exactly. But yeah, it's not having a safety driver, I don't know.
I think that might
give me some pause. But yeah, in general, it's sort of like, this is happening. It's being tested. There's going to be things that have to be tweaked and get fixed as the technology gets better. But in general, I know how it's supposed to work, and I don't have a whole lot of fear with the idea of having a driverless car take me somewhere.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I've lived half my life with like, what, you know, I'm good. So let's do it.
The line for me is that human safety driver. I will get in all day long with that human safety driver there because I think this technology is fairly well along. But I don't know if I trust it enough yet. It hasn't been demonstrated to my satisfaction to get in it alone.
What if you wore a really puffy outfit?
So if I dress up as the Stay Puff Marshmallow Man for Halloween, then I will take.
Yeah. But you know, and wear your seatbelt, of course. You're fine.
No, of course.
You're a science fiction writer. You should be embracing this and jumping
fiction,
in first.
Fiction, Lamar. Emphasis on the fiction part of that. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes, be sure to subscribe to DailyTechHeadlines.com. This is something that is real. Sort of. Actually, we're going to evaluate how much of a publicity stunt this is and how real it is. Xinhua News Agency and search agents.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. If you own or operate a business, whether it's a local operation or a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America could be your smartest move.
By teaming with Bank of America, you'll enjoy exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter.
Position your business to capitalize on opportunity in a moment's notice.
Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone. This podcast is supported by Tools and Weapons, the podcast hosted by Microsoft Vice Chair and President Brad Smith. Right now, on a special edition of Tools and Weapons, Brad Smith is sharing a vision for what Microsoft calls the new AI economy. It's an idea rooted in technological revolutions of the past, like the printing press, which created a vibrant marketplace of related innovations, ultimately leading to an explosion of books and readers. But he doesn't just give a history lesson. In the episode, Brad lays out the tangible ways that Microsoft is providing infrastructure and other support to those leading the charge of the new AI economy. And he explains the importance of using that infrastructure to ensure equitable access to AI to people all over the world. To stay current on insights from voices at the center of the conversation on AI, follow or subscribe to Tools and Weapons with Brad Smith wherever you like to listen.
Agency search engine Sogu launched Composite Anchors. These are machine learning trained virtual anchors who read the news. They have two, one who reads in Chinese, one in English, and they were unveiled at the World Internet Conference in Wuhan. Now, that is important. This is like, you know, this is like a CES announcement, right? This was at a conference. We showed off this thing. They do say, Xinhua says, they are going to put these into practice. They're on the site right now. They'll be available in their apps, on their WeChat channel, and on their website. The English anchor was modeled on Zhang Zhao, a real anchor for Xinhua. Voices, facial expressions, mouth movements, all synthesized and animated using deep learning techniques. The one thing I noticed about it is, as far as like being similar to a deep fake, the video's pretty good. If you didn't tell me it was fake, I don't know whether I would have noticed. Knowing it was fake, I could see some imperfections. But the voice definitely sounded robotic, and I wondered if that was a choice to make sure it's distinguishable somehow.
It was more like it sounded just like Wolf Blitzer. It's about the same thing, you know. sorry, that was terrible. No, but look, he reads very methodically.
Many local news anchors are robotic. I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I was thinking about would this bother me if I knew and I was like, oh, I have the choice between watching this channel for my human anchor and the robot anchor. Well, okay, you could almost liken it to something like Daily Tech Headlines versus Daily Tech News Show that we're doing right now. The headlines are headlines. I read them this morning. If a robot read them and it was still the words that I had written earlier before I recorded, well, the information is pretty much the same. On a show like this, it's at least impossible based on what we're talking about, because it's all discussion and we're all playing off of each other. And, you know, hopefully that's why people like the show, because there's a lot of human component available. But, you know, a lot of news is completely scripted. The discussion part of it is only a certain type of news. I don't know how much I would care. And I mean, if I was a news agency, I'd want to save money by not paying a human.
Yeah. You know, if you look, use a, I believe it's on Echo as well. You have your different news things you can listen to, especially this show, but they also have some other things like in other technology news, and it's a robot AI reading it, you know, just reading.
It's just text to speech, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It's just text to speech. And I've been fine with that. And as you say, like you think of breaking, what's the headline news? I don't know what they are now. I think they're a different kind of thing now. But back in the day, it was just like just headlines. Just tell me what the news is, and I'd be down with that. I don't know that you need to have a person. I don't need to look at a fake person.
That's where I'm at too. Is I wonder at what point do we decide? Okay, I needed to see the person when it was a real person and I was curious to see their expression as they were telling me the news. But if I know that it's a virtual anchor, do I care anymore about seeing them? Right? Like,
yeah, part of the reason seems like a bridge on comfort level, just so as we transition to the robots, it still seems kind of like the news that you're used to.
Now,
but yeah, do you need a fake human sitting there at a desk? We're just used to it.
If they did something weird, like, bring back Peter Jennings.
Ooh.
You know, okay. Yeah, or something like that, where you like your favorite news anchor.
Yeah, Edward R. Murrow delivers.
Then we get into a weird category.
There's holographic, performances going on at Coachella. Also kind of weird.
Yeah, I agree.
But again, the cool thing about an anchor is knowing that anchor is looking at the story and being able to see their reactions. If it's a virtual Peter Jennings, that's not the same as a real Peter Jennings. No. And it may be cool once, but after a while, it's like, well, I know that's not really Edward R. Murrow. So what does it matter? Right. Like it's kind of a novelty thing. I like you say, Sarah, I think this is a bridge. And eventually we'll find out seeing a human face is really not that important to video news. Seeing the video of what actually was happening is more important.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because when you think of it that way, you're like having to see the human all the time is taking away from all the visual aspects of the story because we got to go back and forth all the time.
Yeah.
I think probably the question is I've run into this a few times where maybe it's a YouTube video or something where I'm like, is that a human or is this some sort of an AI voice? You can kind of tell, but not always. And it annoys me if that's not pointed out to me. I just want to know, it's when you get a robocall, is that really a person or is that just, the silly recording that's designed to sound like a person to trick you? I think people just don't want to be tricked.
And in the end, I think this is a little bit of a publicity stunt because we've seen plenty of deepfakes that can take video and make it look like they're saying the thing that's being said. The rest of it's just text to speech. Good for Xinhua and Sogu for being able to, get some headlines. It is very interesting using it in this use case and putting it in an active news agency. Xinhua is the main state-owned news agency in China. But the technology itself is not that surprising at this point.
Well, it is surprising how wonderful everyone in our subreddit is. Submit stories and vote on others at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Thanks to everybody who helps us build our shows every day. Also on Facebook, facebook.com/groups/dailytechnewsshow. Lamar, I know that you have been lucky enough to play around with one new amazing tablet. I don't know. Is it amazing? Let us know.
It's a tablet. yesterday I actually went to the Apple store and I got the new iPad Pro. I got the 12.9. I did that YouTuber thing and got the 1 terabyte because why not? Why not spend way too much money on storage I'll never use? I don't know. But the 1 terabyte one really comes with 6 gigs of RAM versus the other ones that come with 4. So, we'll get to see, how it is. Now, the reason I chose the 12.9 is because I got... You remember the old iPad Pro, that really big one? I think it was like 13 inches or so. That one was really big and heavy. But now with this one, they got the bezels down. This is super light. I was actually surprised how light it was. And it actually felt really, really good in holding it. So I decided to get this one versus the 11. I will say this. I have not pushed it. I've had it 24 hours. I don't know how to push it to its limits. I played some Candy Crush and I played a Marvel Strike Force game.
All right.
And I've done basic, typing and browsing and switching apps and things. But I'm really interested to see what apps I can use to push this. It has this great processor, but what am I going to do with this? And, besides watching and consuming media. So for the price, I don't know. It'll be a while before I could tell, but it's a beautiful device. It's a beautiful screen. The speakers sound great. I did it all on there. People said it sounded just like on my laptop. So, and the pencil.
It's really cool. It's pretty solid. It seems like when it magnets on there.
Yeah, absolutely solid. And I did get the Folio, which has the keyboard. Which I gotta say, this is one of the nicer keyboards, and you could put the iPad in two positions. You can have it sitting a little bit more right up, or you can have it lean more. And I kind of like that option. So, yeah.
It's pretty much like my Surface RT in that way.
Oh, yours has the two spaces too?
I could have it. I can use the kickstand on there.
They copied. Yeah. And then the nice part, which is I like that they finally covered the back. I don't know. My other one didn't have a cover. So, yeah, it's very early on, but I spent way too much money. And yeah, I don't know if it's ever going to be worth it, to be honest.
All right. Well, we will check in down the road after you've spent a little more time with it too. And then see how you're feeling per dollar spent.
Yeah. I don't know
how much it was worth it. All right. Sarah, let's check out the mailbag.
Michael, a.k.a. Tech Dad, wrote in about our conversation with Scott Johnson yesterday about the idea of being able to tell who someone is by the way that they walk, their gait. Michael says, the walking thing in AI got me thinking. Just yesterday, I had somebody say, I thought that was you. I saw you walking. The new fingerprint is probably kind of like this. I can usually tell based on how someone walks, if they're male or female. I'd be thinking that a computer can probably recognize more than I can, very much like the Bill Gates gait is recognizable as well.
Yeah, it's cool. The more you think about it, the more you're like, yeah, I guess that is identifiable even to humans. So it makes sense that you would be able to come up with some kind of machine learning way to identify it as well.
When I read this email this morning, I was like, there are certain people that even if they're way down the street, you know it's them because of the way that they walk.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say that about everybody.
Right. But what if I walk and dance at the same time?
Then we know
then
it's you.
Then we'll probably know it's you.
It must be Lamar. Oh, cool. He's always walking and dancing.
Yeah.
That's true. Darn.
It's called locking.
Or locking?
Pop locking?
I know. That's where I was going too.
Lancing. Wancing. Sorry. Pardon me. It's a new thing. Getting used to it. Thanks, Lamar Wilson, for being on the show. You're not even usually with us on Thursdays. So what a surprise this
week. I know. Thank you. Thank you for having me. Glad I was able to pop in.
Absolutely. Let folks know where they can keep up with all your fabulous work.
Yeah. So I'm on YouTube pretty regularly, youtube.com/Lamar Wilson. Did an unboxing of this tablet. And went into some finer details of it. It's an entertaining unboxing. It says I'm an entertaining unboxer there. I wonder who wrote that. Hmm. So, if you'd like to check me out, youtube.com/Lamar Wilson. Lots of content all the time.
I do like you chose a thumbnail of you crying as you unbox the iPad that you spent so much on.
When I got that receipt, I was like, oh, my God.
Hey, folks, there's lots of ways to support Daily Tech News Show. You can just listen to it for free with some ads. That supports us just fine. If you want to support us directly and not have to listen to some ads, we got all kinds of cool things at patreon.com/DTNS, including a column up today from our own Roger Chang on that A12X processor in the iPad and how it relates to the ongoing processor wars with Intel and AMD. If you want those insights, just back us at $5 a month. That's 25 cents a show, and you can read it right now at patreon.com/DTNS.
If you've got feedback for us, we would like to have it. Our email address is feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com. We're also live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC, and you can find out more at dailytechnewsshow.com/live.
Back tomorrow to talk about electric trucks with Tim Stevens. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
Hey, Sarah.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Stripe Tap to Pay on iPhone came along and changed everything. With Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. No more juggling different methods. Just a simple tap on my iPhone and transactions are complete. What's truly remarkable is how Stripe caters to all my customers' preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Stripe ensures a smooth checkout experience every time. Setting up Stripe was a breeze, taking just minutes to get up and running. From local markets to global retailers, Stripe helped me expand my reach and grow my business with ease. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Hi, this is Matt
and Sean
from Two Black Guys
with Good Credit. From a local business to a global corporation,
partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful you'll make every move matter.
Visit bankofamerica.com/banking for business to learn more.
What would you like the power to do? Bank of America, N.A., copyright 2024.